time once again to study the Word of God, rightly divide it, and we're in the book of Matthew, a dispensational view of Matthew, and we're in lesson 26 in Matthew chapter 8, lesson 26. Just a refresher of last week, when Lord Jesus Christ, chapter 8, verse 1, when he was come down from the mountains, great multitudes follow him. Now you've got to remember, last chapter 5, 6, and 7, where is the Lord Jesus Christ? He's up on a mount. He's receiving the commandments. He's not commandments like Moses, but he's up on a mount. And whenever you look at Jesus Christ on a mount, he is represented as king. Okay, and he's given the constitution to the kingdom saints per se. He comes down, and the first thing he does, we saw last week, he heals a leper. Well, anybody knows anything about leopards? When you touch leopards, guess what you just done? You made yourself what?
Unclean.
And it's, you could be infectious, but here's Jesus Christ touching that leper and making him what?
Whole.
So he's only one person in the Bible can do that.
Amen.
Who is that?
Jesus.
But who does he represent as?
God.
Okay? So God can reach down there and make him whole. So Israel, in a sense, when he told them, Matthew 8, verse 4, he said, Jesus said unto them, see that thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priests, and offer the gift of Moses commanded for the testimonies unto them. Hey, if Jesus Christ touched me like that, guess what I would have probably done? I'd have told everybody. But once again, when he said, tell no man, but tell the priest, what was the reason behind that? The authority. Who was supposed to be able to teach and preach and stuff in the Israel? The priest. Okay? So he was going to that authority matter. So we drop down to verse 5. 5 through 10. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Once again, as Matthew's starting to lay these things out, it's not in chronological order. He's showing some things here. First, he's showing the fact that it's God that can heal. Now he's showing the fact that he's part of Israel, and as being part of Israel, he's going to heal the Gentiles. Okay? Jesus heals the Gentile centurion because he took his place and he what? Blessed Israel. We're going to look at that in a second. But he took his place under that authority, did he not? Okay, and the Gentiles are ready to hear and receive him. You got to remember that. When Jesus Christ was down there and he's teaching, the Gentiles was ready to hear him and receive him. Israel won't get up and go with the Lord Jesus Christ. They're sitting back, as a nation, they're like, he's not who he says he is. You know, all the evidence is laying up against who Jesus Christ is. They should identify who he was and said, he's the Messiah, let's get behind him. But they just won't get up and go. So what is he going to do? He's going to let unbelieving Israel to burn over here in this tribulation period. See, that's why this all he's telling them, everything what's going to happen over here. And just like a couple weeks ago when we said the unwise man builds his house upon what? Sand, and the rains and the flood destroys it. But the wise man builds his house upon who? Jesus Christ, God. And the rain and the floods and stuff won't destroy that. Okay? Much like Noah. He built his ark upon what God told him to do. If Noah changed one plan or one nail or one gopher wood, and that boat would have sunk. So he built his up. He built his ark, his house, if you will, as a form of house, right? Upon what God told him to do. The foundation's God. But God is going, Jesus Christ is going to let unbelieving Israel be burned up in the tribulation periods, and he's going to take that righteous nation, that little flock, okay, right into the kingdom. Now, I know it might be hard to believe, but you've got to understand, if you're there's two types of people in this world. Those who are in Adam, and those in who?
Christ.
In other words, they're saved and unsaved. And God gives any dispensation you want to look at, he always gives somebody the opportunity to believe him, and he counts it as righteousness. And you have a choice to either believe or don't believe. So a lot of people say, well, you know, I can't believe that God would do this to people. Well, God don't. You do. When you choose not to believe what God does, you made that choice. God never violates it. Okay? When you, by the way, what Jesus Christ is doing here with this healing the centurion's servant, he is the son of who? What does Matthew portray Jesus? It's son of, you know, it starts out son of David and what? Son of Abraham. Go to Luke chapter 7. Hold your finger there and go to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, verse 1 says, Now when he had ended all of his sayings unto the audience of the people, he entered in Capernaum, and a certain centurion servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal this his servant. And verse 5 says, For he loved our nation. Well, go to verse 4. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy from whom he should do this. For he loved our nation, and he hath built us a what? Okay. Do you remember what the Abrahamic covenant was? Okay, right, exactly. I'll bless those who bless you, and I'll curse those who curse you. So this centurion, this Gentile, blessed the nation Israel. He loved them. Why? Okay, the centurion, because he fell right in line who Israel is supposed to be in. Okay, you with me? And that's a parallel passage, and it will give you some details you don't get in Matthew, by the way, what we just read. Note, at this time, the Gentiles nations, and I've done said this before, be turning back to Matthew, the Gentiles nations were ready to receive Jesus Christ as the Messiah that they wanted to follow under the nation Israel. But who wasn't?
Israel
wasn't. They still puffed up in their vain belief. They still was following the God of this world. They were still an apostate. Oh, look at me. And we saw this through other studies and stuff, the fact that in Daniel, they fail politically. God took the political reign from them over in Daniel. Okay? And then they fail spiritually too, but God's given them an opportunity through John the Baptist and Jesus Christ and Stephen, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. He's given them the opportunity to restore themselves spiritually. But we know what happens, don't we? When you read the book of Acts. Matthew chapter 8, verse 11 and 12. And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. How many?
Many.
Not all, right? But many. But look at verse 12. But something's changed here, ain't it? Or something's, look. But the children of the kingdom. Now, hold your thought right there for a minute. Who's the children of the kingdom supposed to be? As individually as or as a nation. They're the promised a kingdom. That's what Abraham covenants about, by the way. Promised a nation and promised a land. That was their hope over here. That was their eternal life. Okay? That's their resurrection hope. It didn't matter where they were going to die or how they got died. They knew that they was promised through Abraham a kingdom over there. So they become children of the kingdom. Keep reading. Shall be cast out into other darkness, outer darkness, that there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Okay? Think about this. He said that in the kingdom over there, the Gentiles are going to go in. That's what he's referring to. Hey, guys, the Gentiles are ready. They're ready to take who I am. They're going to go in that kingdom over there. But look what he says. The Gentiles are going to go sit and down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but the apostate nation is just going to be cast out. See, a lot of people think just because I'm a Abraham's seed, y'all know the verses. You know, I've got it made. Hey, what is Abraham to you today? Father of what?
Faith.
We sung a song a little while. Faith of our fathers, okay? He's a father of faith. He's got a dual fathership, if you will. Did he believe God in circumcision or uncircumcision? Okay, gotcha. Are you part of the circumcision or part of the uncircumcision? Okay, with me? Okay, so you can understand that the Gentiles, by believing what God was doing to the nation Israel, are going in that kingdom. We know that. The little flock will go into the kingdom, but the apostate nation of Israel will lose out. That's what he's doing in Matthew. He takes that national status that Israel was boasting in and takes it and gives it to a foolish nation. Now, a lot of people would say, you're part of that foolish nation, but you're not. Okay? You're nowhere in this. Even though it said Gentiles, that's nothing to do with the dispensation of grace. It's got to do with what God is doing right here because there's a middle wall partition still up here. You with me? Israel, middle wall partition, and it's fortified with the law. And then down here's Gentiles. Okay? And the only way the Gentiles in any times past, I should say, can get to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is through the instrumentality of who? The nation Israel. That's God's plan. Okay? Now, there will be a whole lot of descendants of Abraham that don't get in there. That's what he's saying. You think about that. You know, it may strike a lot of people raw, but that's exactly what God's saying. Everybody's not going to get in there. You're thinking, in contrast today, is everybody going to get to heaven? No. We may think they are, that type of thing, but I quit thinking. I quit believing the Word. I started believing the Word. You know? But anyway, go to Matthew 8:13. And Jesus said unto the centurion, see, it's still in the contrast of what he's talking there, right? He said unto, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so it will be done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Centurion believed, but you know, Jesus was trying to teach in all this, what he's trying to teach, that the nation, that why are you waiting? Here is a Gentile that you know through the Abrahamic covenant, and you know through the Mosaic covenant, that he has taken his position and he's ready. But what are you waiting for, Israel? What are you waiting for? And a good, you know, in other words, that's a good dispensation message here to see that one is upon the other. Here comes Jesus Christ, God, heals. Here comes the Gentiles. This is a dispensational message for them to start understanding what God is going to do with the nation Israel and the Gentiles. Which you should have believed back there. Verse 14. Matthew 8:14. But do you see verse 10 right before we get to 14? When Jesus heard it, he marveled. You know, he's just like, come on, Israel. You know, Here is a Gentile man under authority. He says, I'm under authority, and yet I've got people under me. But he marveled. That's a good word. You know that? It really is. Not Marvel Comics, but marvel. You know? Look, verse 14 through 16. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. Now, did Peter have a wife? Do you know anybody out there says he didn't? Or a religious system out there says you can't have a wife to be certain positions? I don't know what other Bible version says. I don't know. They may rip that verse out of there. But the fact that he had a wife, and Jesus comes to Peter's house and heals his mother-in-law.
Just by touching.
I'm thinking mother-in-laws, usually a lot of times mother-in-laws, you know, please go. But no, I've got a wonderful mother-in-law, and I'm sure you do too. But anyway, you think Peter has a wife. This is a healing. This type of healing is a restoration of Israel at the second coming of and when Jesus comes back. Here's a lady that's sitting there, Peter's wife, object of Israel, sick. And Jesus Christ comes back over, and what's he do to the nation of Israel? He restores them, okay, from their sick condition that Jesus will find them when he arrives back over here. You with me on that? See, everything is about... That's why... I'll slow down a little bit. That's why when you look at the book of Matthew, I know a lot of people look at the book of Matthew and they read it as for doctrine for today, don't they? And they try to apply everything what Jesus Christ is doing right now and tries to, you know, apply that. But you can't do that. That's error. So what do? You understand where it's at in the dispensation of God, and it's about a future program over here in the kingdom. In the kingdom. What he's preparing that little flock, what they're going to have to do, okay? And when he comes back over there, they're sick as they was over here. And they had to be restored. Verse 17. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken of Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bared our sickness. That's prophesied program yet to come. That it might be fulfilled. This is a repeat verse throughout the book of Matthew. You've got to remember this. Repeat verse, that it might be fulfilled. The book is mostly referring, and that's what I just said, the second coming of Jesus Christ. And when he comes back to set up the kingdom. At this time, the kingdom was always portrayed as being at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And the prophets could not and did not want to know anything, or didn't know anything about the mystery program. See, if you understand what we're the dispensation of grace, you can't find it in times past or even ages to come. They're worrying about right now what it's at hand and what Jesus Christ is going to give them. Verse 18. Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandments to depart unto the other side. You see where they're still at, though? But are they still in Peter's house? His mother-in-law's house. And the great multitudes show up at her house. To be what?
Be healed.
To heal. That's another picture, once again, it's another picture, restoration of the nation Israel. What's people going to do? Flock to it to be healed. You know, great multitudes began to flock. Verse 19, and a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee wheresoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, the foxes have holes, And the birds of the air has nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. You know where he's at already, Capernaum? You know, people say he's Jesus Nazareth, but Capernaum was his home too. And he didn't have a place to lay his head. Verse 21, and another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto them, follow me and let the dead bury the dead. Great multitudes from verses 18 to 22. Great multitudes began to follow Jesus, did they not? He commanded them to depart. However, a certain scribe came and said, I will follow you wherever you go, right? And Jesus let him know the following was not going to be a bed of roses. In fact, if you think about what he says, the foxes have holes and the birds have nests. You know what? If you do a study of the fowl of the air in your Bible, you know what those usually are? What's that?
Demons.
That's exactly right. They're demons. The fowls and stuff. You know, remember the movie The Birds? Was they good birds? That's just a movie. We know that. But when you do a study about the fowl of the air, the fowls of the air, they're demons. And the foxes, what did he call Herod back there? Fox. See? They have places to go. They have the fowl air. They have nest. And they'll be treated, think about this, in that system, that world system out there, they will be treated better than the Son of Man that was on this earth. That, to me, what you look at now, you think about what our Lord Jesus Christ went through, and what the Apostle Paul went through, even Apostle Peter and all the apostles that followed Jesus Christ to stand for truth, what they really went through. And we look at oh, woe is me, you know. I'm afraid to pick up the phone because such and such is just going to give me a hard time. You know, I'm afraid to knock on the door because my nails. You know, or you know, just, you know, I know. I've been there. And we have too. You know, we pick up 1,001 excuses about how we're going to be treated. You know why? We don't like to be rejected, do we? We don't like, you're in sales, and when you get on that phone or you make that cold call, and you know in that gut feeling that you're going to get rejected in a way. But the half of you says, you know something, this is going to be a great day. I'm going to make a sale. You know, that's who we are in Christ Jesus if you let Christ Jesus do that. Guys, I learned a long time ago that when you're in your flesh and when you're in yourself and you try to do it, you're going to fail most miserable. You know, and you're going to go, woe is me, where I'm got, you know. But in Christ Jesus, you know, when they reject you because you're sharing the message of grace, showing it rightly divided, they're not really rejecting you. They're rejecting Christ because He's in you. You have a message. You know the whole story. Reject the message or the messenger. You know, if they can't reject a message, they'll do the messenger. So here you are at the message. You got a message out there. You got something to say, and people start rejecting it. Then they start rejecting you. Okay, they want another. But this is the first time that Jesus is referred to as the Son of Man when you just read it right there. The first time. And the only referred in his earthly ministry. The title is not used anywhere in Paul's epistles. The Son of Man. And what I just shared with you about the birds and the fowl in the Bible, or the types of demons, you Revelation 18, verse 2. Okay? If you want some verses. Matthew chapter 13. The Son of Man is a messianic title according to Revelation 14, 14. Okay? In Paul's epistle, Christ is never referred to as the Son of Man. He is Lord, isn't he? Okay? He is Lord. He is the glorified Lord. He is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, if you will. Verse 23. Matthew 8:23. And by the way, verse 22, when he says, let the dead bury the dead, that's a bit bold statement, isn't it? I mean, think about that. You know, in other words, if they're part of that world system, they're going to bury their own. You're going to follow me. Okay? I have nowhere to rest. It's not going to be an easy journey. Follow me. Verse 23. And when he was entered into the ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest of the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came unto him and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the seas, and there was a great calm. But when the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the seas obey him? Now, that still sets me back in my thinking that Jesus Christ was baptized as John, became identified with the little righteous nation, and he started coming off the mountains, healing people as God, setting people up as their Messiah, and they marvel, what kind of man was this? His disciples, who decided to sell out, by the way, followed Jesus and witnessed another miracle, didn't they? The lesson is that they are in a storm, and the disciples were afraid and woke up to say, Jesus saved them, and he did. In other words, Jesus knows and will take care of those that belong to him. Go to Psalms chapter 107. And that was a type of an ark. If you're in that ark with him, okay, guess what you're going to do? You're going to lose your life? Psalms 107. Psalms 107. Verse 28 says, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distress. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Everything that the Lord Jesus Christ does, he's referencing back to who the prophets say he was. Only God could do this. They're calling out. You know, many of us, you know, in our life, do we not, some things don't understand some things, and we just cry out to God, help me, you know, Lord, help me get out of the situations. And to me, in a dispensation of grace, he's like, hey, if you got the mind of Christ on, which you do, then, and the Holy Spirit's living in you, which he is, then you make some right decisions in your life, okay, and you go on with it. Now, we know what Galatians does, right? You sow, you reap what you sow. If you're out here sowing bad things, guess what's going to do? You're going to reap it. That's the law of life. But guess what? In my young life, I sowed some bad seeds. Is that crop still there? Not if I'm saved. Guess what happened? It's cut down, and now I started planting a new crop over the years, and I'm seeing that crop come up in my life, okay? I'm talking personally. And I've got a new crop that I'm yielding, and God likes that, okay? That's about fruit. You're producing good fruit. Go back to Matthew chapter 28. Oh, excuse me, Matthew 8. Matthew 8:28. And when he was come to the other side, and to the country of the Gergesene, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tomb exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by. There are two devils are a type of Israel in their loss, in their lost and unfruitful condition. You with me? And they're lost and unfruitful. At this time, they were supposed to be channeled of blessings for the nation of Gentiles, but no man could pass by. You think about this. Okay? No man can pass by. Matthew, in his book, is concerned with the dispensational differences then and the kingdom to come. That's what this is about. Go to verse 29 right quick. And behold, they cry out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? There's a question there. Art thou come hither to torment us before what? Before the time? Before the time? You think about that. You think about what those devils just said to the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you here? Are you come to torment us before our what? They knew that there's going to be a time that's coming through the Word of God that they're going to be tormented. But they also knew something that apparently Israel didn't know, that the Lord Jesus Christ, even though He's coming there, He's not setting up that time yet. Because later on, as we study through the book of Matthew, you're going to find out that He says, I must suffer and then the glory. But you think about what just said. We got people out there believes that what Paul preached in the mystery program today was hid in God's Word and could be found. Yeah, I know. You mean like, that's not true, because it was hid in who? God. It was not hid in His Word. He was hid in God. Well, this saying right here, if this was true, and I'm looking at this, I'm thinking, okay, if these devils knew that they got a time to come that's going to be tormented, correct? Okay, they knew that they had all their life and growing over here through apostate Israel. You know, living the life of Raleigh, if you will. Okay, and they know that there's going to be a time over here that's going to be tormented. But they didn't know about this right here. See, they would say, no, Jesus, thou Son of God, we know what the Bible says. You're going to give us grace. You're going to give us a whole dispensation of grace until the fullness of Gentiles fall. You see where I'm going with this? You can't find that, the mystery program in there. The devils cry out to Jesus. These devils know about the prophecy in the future. And guess what Jesus does? He blinds them. He blinds them. Verse 30, let's go to 30, 32. And there was a good way off from the herd, from them a herd of many swine feeding. So the devils besought Him, saying, if Thou cast us out, suffer us to go away in the herd of swine. And He said unto them, go. And when they went, and they were come out, they went into the herd of swine. And behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down the steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. Remember what we found out about who was the swine? The false prophets, remember? Okay? That's who they wanted to do. They run into the false prophets. Send us into those false prophets. We're apostate Israel. Sorry, guys. Apostate Israel, okay? All right? So put us into these false prophets. That we're feeding the devils are asking Jesus to cast them out in the herd. And Jesus says, go. And the devils went in the herd and they ran violently down the steep and perished in the waters. This is a type of what will happen during the judgment in the tribulation period. Something else about that, you know, something else about the waters and the deep. Now, you know, they went in there. You can look at it, the fact they went into the false prophets and they went into the waters to hide. Okay? You know, just to disappear. Just until, you know, you want going in hiding. But what are the false prophets doing today? Are they in hiding? You can expose them, can't you? You take the Word of God and you can put it up against who they are and you can expose them. But there's another thing you can think about. You know the deep? The Bible talks about the deep. The lake of fire, the deep. And if you know anything about the gap fact, it's not a theory in my books, it's a fact. God flooded the universe in times past. It was corrupted. Satan corrupted the universe outside of the third heaven. He didn't corrupt that. God flooded the universe before Noah. This is Genesis 1:1, 1:2. And when he separated it, earth was always there. But there's a deep down there. Out in the other darkness, deep. And you could think those swine went there to hide too. Because who comes out of the deep over here in ages to come? There's a beast that comes out of that. Not just waters, not just a sea, but down in the universe. We'll close there. Father, we thank you for the things you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.